Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. For anyone who's ever spent time tilling the earth, it's usually a given that compost is a natural and healthy product that can benefit one's farm or garden. As in so many other areas of modern life, however, our failure to properly regulate pollution is causing problems, even for compost. Recently, in an exclusive report, award-winning NC Policy Watch environmental reporter Lisa Sorg uncovered the fact that the compost from one major North Carolina producer had been tainted with a potentially destructive herbicide. Earlier this week, I caught up with Lisa to discuss the compost story, as well as some other recent developments in the world of environmental policy, including the demise of two planned natural gas pipelines and the ongoing problem of so-called forever chemicals polluting the Cape Fear River Basin. Well, Lisa Sorg, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
You've been breaking a lot of important stories about the environment lately. The most recent one has to do with this herbicide that has infected, if you will, our compost source that has been distributed in North Carolina to lots of farmers and gardeners. Talk to us about what the heck's going on there.
Well, this persistent herbicide, and it's made originally by Dow Agro, so Dow Chemical. It is called chlorpyrrolid, I believe. It is a persistent herbicide, meaning it lasts a long time in the soil. It takes a long time for it to leave. And what happened is that there is some thought that some contaminated material was shipped to a compost facility in Chatham County. So right now the suspect is yard waste. So what happened is this herbicide has been illegally or inappropriately sprayed on lawns or on other grasslands. And then when that yard waste is taken to a compost facility, it gets in the finished product. In turn, that compost is sold to unsuspecting gardeners, and the compost facility doesn't know, and then you get deformed and dying plants.
I was going to say, the results that you report on in your story, you know, fairly disturbing in terms of gardeners reporting just their plants are dying or looking really, really weird and deformed. It's pretty troubling stuff.
You know, the leaves will curl up. It's called cupping. Also, they also think of it as like fiddling, fiddleheading. And so when you see it, you will know it because it doesn't look like a tomato plant leaf. It also affects flowers. It affects potatoes and lettuces and spinach. And there is, you know, a lot of concern about beneficial insects and butterflies and what would possibly be the effects on them, because a lot of people plant these flowers to be pollinator friendly.
We all are sort of brought up to think of compost as being sort of this wonderful organic product that we all should embrace. And as you've reported on before, there have been a lot of problems with compost in North Carolina.
Yes, there have been perfluorinated compounds, which we all call PFAS now, that have been found in compost that often comes from wastewater or sludge. And so compost, it's a very important industry, but it faces a lot of challenges right now, and you really have to check your sources.
Now, the company that we believe produced the compost in question, they seem at least to be interested in doing something about it, right?
Yes, McGill Environmental is the name of the company that is the compost facility. They have one in Chatham County in New Hill, and they have one in Sampson County. The current compost comes from the Chatham County facility, and they are doing a lot of testing. They've advocated to the EPA to more strongly regulate this. You're not supposed to put it on residential lawns, but some people do. But they want it more regulated. So you would actually have to be a certified pesticide applicator to even use it, which means you couldn't just go to, say, Lowe's or Home Depot and buy it off the shelf as just a regular person.
Right.
You'd have to have a license.
That's obviously a source of the problem, is that we use these pesticides and herbicides with far too little regulation throughout our economy. We use them in both commercial applications and just home applications where people use them. And not surprisingly, then they find their way into other streams and they end up in things like compost. And these chemicals tend to stick around for a while.
Yes. And, you know, when you buy a bag or a cubic yard of compost, you think that you're doing something good.
Yeah.
And so it's very disheartening when that doesn't happen. And in the story, there were a lot of people who are maybe gardening for the first time because of COVID. And they decide, oh, we're going to put a little plot out here in our yard. And it can be very disheartening to be a beginning gardener and think, well, what just happened here?
Yeah. Well, obviously, there's so many areas in which environmental regulations are effectively very inadequate in our modern North Carolina. Another area in which we've actually seen some hopeful development, however, when it comes to environmental regulation, concerns the development of a couple of massive natural gas pipelines, the so-called Atlantic Coast Pipeline, the Mountain Valley Pipeline. One is definitely going away and the other one's on hold, right?
Right. So the Atlantic Coast Pipeline is dead in the water. Duke Energy and Dominion Energy decided not to proceed with that because they had a lot of legal challenges. It was getting even more expensive. The original cost of that was something like $5 billion. It had already ballooned to $8 billion. So I think they found that it was just an untenable situation. And then more recently, the Mountain Valley Southgate project. Now, that is a completely different pipeline, different ownership. The ownership is a company out of Pennsylvania. But it was going to go through part of North Carolina, entering the state in Eden, Rockingham County, going southeast to Alamance County, where it would end it around Graham, Haw River, that area. And DEQ basically just said, we don't think this pipeline is necessary, and we don't think that it's viable because the Mountain Valley Southgate main line is coming down from Virginia, but that's on hold. So this south portion is contingent on the main portion, and the main portion is on hold. So they just said, you know, the water quality issues that this pipeline would present are just aren't worth it, and there's no guarantee that it's even going to happen. So they said, we're not going to give you your water quality permit. And as we've seen with the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, when they start this construction and then the pipeline is abandoned, basically, the destruction in the wake of them is very intense. We've seen landowners' property along the Atlantic Coast Pipeline that's been completely destroyed. So I think DEQ didn't want to risk that again in case the main MVP line is abandoned. And then we would have started construction here and then we would have been in the same position.
So these pipelines, you refer to Department of Environmental Quality saying, look, it's destroying the land where it's going and it's of questionable benefit. Do you think it's also perhaps maybe a hopeful sign that we're starting to recognize that the climate crisis has become so acute that the idea of rapidly developing new sources of fossil fuel and using that to fuel our economy is just people are starting to recognize maybe that's not the direction we should be headed?
I think so. I think people have figured out that the environmental downsides to natural gas and a lot of these fossil fuels is just not, it's not worth it, and that there are other ways. And I think we've had demand issues with COVID, you know, less demand on the commercial sector, maybe a little bit more in residential. But I think people are starting just to rethink in general the way we live.
Yeah, it does seem as if the pandemic, if it's done nothing else, perhaps has sent a warning sign to us that we've got to start taking care of our planet if we want to survive as a species for a long time in a healthy way. Another area, as we talk to Lisa Sorg, environmental reporter for NC Policy Watch, and we get sort of near the end of our time here, another issue I want to touch on is the issue of PFAS, forever chemicals. We referred to them earlier, but the Chemours factory that's in southeastern North Carolina continues to be a point of contention in terms of the debate over PFAS and their continued emission of these dangerous chemicals. Talk to us about what's been going on there. There's a new, perhaps, consent order, but maybe it's not really changing arrangements that had already been made.
The proposed amendment would require PFAS to be reduced and leave the Cape Fear River. It can't go into the river by, I think the reduction is 99%. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, that was originally supposed to be in an EPA consent order from like 11 years ago.
I see.
But there are things that this consent order does that the EPA consent order didn't. So we have two consent orders, federal and state. The state's amended consent order would also require Chemours to shut off what they're called groundwater seeps. They're basically little streams. If you've been out in the woods or something, you see, you know, water come up through the ground. And these are going into the river and they're contaminating the drinking water supply. So they're going to have to cut those off. So there are, and they're building a big barrier wall under the ground. So there are additional things in this amendment that were not in the original state consent order, nor were they in the federal consent order from 2009. But my point in my coverage has been, if Chemours would have just abided by the 2009 federal consent order, a lot of this could have been avoided in the first place.
Yeah, and as we know now, for years and years, because of this plant in the Fayetteville area, we have been sending vast quantities of these of the chemical Gen X and into the Cape Fear River, which then provides the water source for Wilmington and southeastern North Carolina. They're now, as I gather, moving to a system where at least within a few years, perhaps, they'll have a very expensive purification system. But right now, you can't get this stuff out of the water. Am I right about that?
That's correct. It takes a very advanced and sophisticated removal system. They're very expensive. The ratepayers end up having to cover that cost, not the industry. So that is another point of contention where these cities like Wilmington or Brunswick County, they want to put in these advanced technology treatment systems, but who's going to pay for it? It really should not be ratepayers.
So we're coming to the end of our time, but I guess I have maybe a more general question about where we're headed with environmental regulation. Do you sense that perhaps, I mean, for the last few years, of course, under the leadership of the General Assembly, we've been sort of reducing our regulation of the environment. Do you sense that maybe there's an awakening taking place in the public that we've got to get serious about these kinds of issues or we're really going to be in some serious trouble?
I think that the citizen movement is gaining strength. I think that people in power are listening more. That isn't to say that there aren't permits that DEQ issues that mm-hmm. people agree with, but I do think that I'm feeling a bit of a shift. I'm feeling that it just depends on what happens when the legislature comes back and if there's any kind of reaction to some of the more empowered citizens. But I think people are using their voices and they're using their vote to make a statement about the planet and how we need to protect it. It's all we have.
Well, we certainly hope that people keep that in mind as they go forward in the next few weeks and months to go to the ballot box and vote in the 2020 election. We hope very much that in the 2021 legislature, there's a renewed emphasis on environmental protection. And we know that Lisa Sorg will be there to cover it. And so, Lisa, thank you so much for all you do for Policy Watch. Folks can check her out at ncpolicywatch.com. See her amazing reporting. Hopefully next time we talk, Lisa, we'll have some good news to talk about.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rob.
Coming up next, how a decades-old law named for a North Carolina politician is endangering the health and well-being of women around the world. Stay with us.